ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Soothed Sleep Stories. Oh, it just brings me joy that you are here on the 21st day of the journey reading through the Bible in a year. Thank you for joining. And today, we're going to go through Genesis chapter 37 through 38, conclude with an eventide portion from God Calling Devotional. And before we begin, let's pray. Dear Adonai, Elohim, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, who cares for each one of us, for we came from you. We were born from your thoughts. Thank you for creating us and giving us life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for breathing life into us. We need you, Holy Spirit, during these times. It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath that hovers over us, breathes over us. Thank you, Jesus, just as you breathed your shalom over your disciples. Thank you for breathing your shalom, which is your perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for breathing your shalom over this episode and over everyone that listens to this and over everyone who listens to this. Now and in years to come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening the eyes of our understanding as we read your word. I treasure your word. May you be glorified in our lives today. In Jesus' name, I pray, by the power of the sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Genesis chapter 37, Joseph's dream. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers, while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And he related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come down to bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he said to him, "I will go." Then he said to him, "Go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock." Then the man said, "They have moved from here. For I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. When they saw him from a distance and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. And they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'A wild beast devoured him.' Then let us see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, "Let us not take his life." Reuben further said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father." So it came about, when Joseph reached his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty, without any water in it, and they sat down to eat a meal. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh, on their way to bring them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, so he tore his garments, and he returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go?" So they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. And they sent the very colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, "We found this. Please examine it to see whether it is your son's tunic or not." Then he examined it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "Surely I will go down to Sheol in the morning for my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. Chapter 38. And it came about at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in to her. So she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Er. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and named him Onan. And she bore still another son, and named him Shelah. And it was at Chetzid that she bore him. Now Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord took his life. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife and perform your duty as a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." And Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, so it came about that when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. But what he did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord, so he took his life also. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "I am afraid that he too may die like his brothers." So Tamar went and lived in her father's house. Now, after a considerable time, Shua's daughter, the wife of Judah, died. And when the time of mourning was ended, Judah went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told to Tamar, "Behold, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she removed her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in the gateway of Enayim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah had grown up, and she had not been given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, for she had covered her face. So he turned aside to her by the road and said, "Hear now, let me come in to you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" He said, "Therefore, I will send you a kid from the flock." She said, "Moreover, will you give a pledge until you send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" And she said, "Your seal and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and departed and removed her veil and put on her widow's garments. When Judah sent the kid by his friend the Adullamite to receive the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the men of her place, saying, "Where is the temple prostitute who was by the road at Enayim?" But they said, "There has been no temple prostitute here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I did not find her." And furthermore, the men of the place said, "There has been no temple prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep them, lest we become a laughing stock. After all, I sent this kid, but you did not find her." Now, it was about 3 months later that Judah was informed, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar has played the harlot, and behold, she is also with child by harlotry." Then Judah said, "Bring her out, and let her be burned." It was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "I am with child by the man to whom these things belong." And she said, "Please examine and see, whose signet ring and cords and staff are these?" And Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, inasmuch as I did not give her to my son Shelah, and he did not have relations with her again. And it came about at the time she was giving birth that, behold, there were twins in her womb. Moreover, it took place while she was giving birth. One put out a hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, 'This one came out first.' But it came about as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out." Then she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." So he was named Peretz. And afterward his brother came out, who with the scarlet thread on his hand, and he was named Zerah. God Calling Eventide, Day 21, January 21st. Exceeding Great Reward. I am thy shield, and thine exceeding great reward. Jesus said, "Shield from the storm of life, shield from even the consequences of your own faults and failings, shield from your weakness, shield from worry, shield from fear and sorrow, shield from the world with its allure and temptations. Not only your shield, but your exceeding great reward, not the reward of perfection in your life, for that you could not win here, not the reward of what you do or of any merit in yourself, only the result or reward of your questing, the satisfaction of your hunger to find me, exceeding great reward. Your reward is the same as that of the greatest saint who has ever lived, given not as a trophy of victory, not as a recognition of virtue, but given because you are the seeker and I, your Lord, am the sought." So, the revelations that were impressed upon me as I shared Genesis 37 and 38, that even though Jacob had had encounters with God himself, face to face, he did not discern that the blood on the coat of many colors, the vari-colored tunic that he had given Joseph, it was an animal, and his sons were all lying to him. There's just deception throughout this entire story. The deception from Onan, who was supposed to carry his brother's offspring after his brother passed away. So God killed him too. And then the deception of Judah, who said, just go live at your father's household and then I'll wait for my youngest son to grow up and then I'll call for you. And Shelah grew up and she didn't hear anything, so what did she do? She took matters into her own hands and deceived Judah himself. And then it's interesting, Jacob's grandchildren, who was the same thing, Peretz and Zerah. Peretz came before Zerah, even though Zerah was supposed to come out first, much like what happened with Jacob and Esau. And then, of course, Joseph. He just wanted to share what dream he had. He must have felt so isolated and alone, not having anything in common with his brothers at the time. He didn't know that he should keep quiet. They were already jealous of his father's love for him. But it also shows us the intention of Reuben and Judah, that they did not want him killed. Judah said, no, let's just sell him as a slave. Reuben did not want him to disappear at all. So it shows their intentions. They weren't as wicked as their other brothers. Reuben was doing his best to protect him, and so was Judah. But we will come to see that God works everything that those intended for evil. He turns it all around for his glory, for those who love Jesus. And Joseph certainly did. He certainly loved the Lord. And he's going to be tested, as we are going to learn in the following pages. And sweet friend, before we go, if you do not know Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus who died just for you, and you would like to know him as your very own Lord and Savior, would you please pray the following prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I would like Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Your word says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, that if I confess out loud, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For it is with my heart that I believe and am justified, just as if I never sinned. And it is with my mouth that I confess and I am saved. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Lord and my Savior. I repent for the wrong life I have lived until now. I choose you and will live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are now his child. All heaven is jumping up and down and dancing because you received Jesus into your very own heart, sweet friend. Tell someone you just received Jesus and find a great Christian church and grow in him. He loves you and desires worship from your heart each and every day. You are so precious to him. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Blessings to you.